Great to see everyone. If you'll take God's word, please turn to Psalm 119. You know, a lot of times for the beginning of a new year, they encourage you to get like some kind of annual checkup or to regularly go see your doctor for various reasons. Several years ago, I had not seen a dentist in about 10 years or so. These are all my actual teeth I have. And this dentist, I had two little cavities, and this dentist said, "You have been robbing dentists for several years, haven't you?" And so he'd like me to come in regularly. And of course, they'd like for you to come in regularly to check your health. I think they said in one third of the cases, the symptom of heart disease is sudden death. And that is, you have this heart disease that develops and then it's you just die. Like pancreatic cancer doesn't have a lot of symptoms to it. Prostate cancer, they want men to go to the doctor regularly. So that's the idea of monitoring how we are doing in our health to prevent some kind of adverse consequence. When you think about spiritually, a checkup for our spiritual health, Psalm 119, verse 10, "With all my heart I have sought you, do not let me wander from your commandments." And so he wants to have a heart for God. And I have to ask myself, do I have a healthy heart? Do I have a healthy spiritual life for God? So a New Year's spiritual checkup helps us to see how strong my heart for God is. You know, where we are right now, the condition of our spiritual heart is not an accident. We are where we are because of the choices that we have made and the deeds that we have done. And that we change where we are and what we are by changing what goes into our mind and what we change what goes into our life. Psalm 119, verse 32, "I shall run the way of your commandments, for you will enlarge my heart." Of course, doctors may recommend to you, if you don't have better health, diet and exercise, and also having a good attitude. Those are three key common sense things for physical health, and that's the way it is spiritually too. To diet, what you put in your mind, we are what we eat, and so what we put in our mind spiritually determines what we will be spiritually, and then we have to put it into practice. So when we look at a spiritual growth checkup, God's Word prescribes a personal spiritual growth checkup. And I'm going to be looking, as you can tell, from Psalm 119 tonight, the longest chapter in the Bible. Verse 59 says, "I considered my ways. I gave myself a checkup. I look at myself inwardly and turn my feet to your testimonies." So I turned to God's word that gave me a direction that I need to send my life. Psalm 119 is a Hebrew acrostic poem. And I want to read verses 1 through 8. "How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the law of the Lord. How blessed are those who observe his testimonies, who seek him with all their heart. They also do no unrighteousness. They walk in his ways. You have ordained your precepts that we should keep them diligently. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep your statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed when I look upon all your commandments. I shall give thanks to you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. I shall keep your statutes. Do not utterly forsake me." And so you have in 176 verses, you have the perfection of God's word is extolled and praised, that it meets our every spiritual need. And when you think about the idea that we have an immaterial spirit, that God is a spirit, Christ is a spirit, you have the Holy Spirit, heaven is a spiritual place that we cannot physically or tangibly contact physically. The only tangible contact that we have with the divine world is the Bible. We are physical creatures in a physical world, and the Bible is that tangible link to spiritual reality, and it is that tangible link that gives us a spiritual checkup. And so you have Psalm 119 as an acrostic poem with 22 stanzas. And if you'll notice at the first stanza, I have Aleph, a little squiggly line, which is the Hebrew letter A. I was just curious, if you have your Bible there, how many of you have Aleph there at the beginning of Psalm 119? Raise your hand. So I would say that is the majority of you. So you have Aleph, Beit, that's not Beth, that's Beit, the Hebrew letter B. Gimel, Dalet, so you see A, B, ours would be C, D, but it's A, B, G, D. That's the Hebrew alphabet. There's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. Each line in each stanza, each succeeding stanza begins with a succeeding letter in the 22-letter Hebrew alphabet. So the stanza that I just read to you, in the Hebrew, each line, you have eight verses here, each line or verse begins with the letter Aleph. The second stanza, each line of each eight lines begins with the letter Beit. The third stanza, the beginning letter of each line begins with the letter Gimel, etc., all the way through the Hebrew alphabet. And what's the point of that? The point of that is a memory device. And you have about a dozen acrostic poems in the Psalter. And an acrostic is a memory device so you can take God's Word with you and memorize, meditate, and reflect upon God's Word. Now, you might think that that's amazing to memorize an entire chapter of the Bible. But it's really not. They basically did not have distractions and things that we have. And so to spend their time, they would simply read, recite, remember, meditate upon God's Word and hide it in their heart. And so what this will do, when we hide God's Word in our heart, it will give us a spiritual checkup of how I am doing spiritually. It will depict my attitude toward God's Word and the condition of my spiritual health. Well, so God's Word prescribes a personal spiritual growth checkup. Your testimonies are my delight. They are my counselors. Wherever I go, whatever I do, God's Word should be speaking to me. What do I tell myself during the day? God's Word should be counseling me in all the multitudes of decisions that I have to make during the day. They will check my spiritual progress. It will tell me how I am doing spiritually. Well, to go through this spiritual checkup using Psalm 119, one question for us to ask in this checkup is, how am I thirstier for God? Do I desire to have a closer relationship with the God of heaven? Verse 2 that we had read, how blessed are those who observe his testimonies, who seek him with all their heart. So the point of studying the Bible is not merely acquiring Bible knowledge, but it's come to know God. Some of you that like history recall Nikita Khrushchev was the premier of the Soviet Union. Nikita Khrushchev was the one that said at the United Nations, "We will bury you." Nikita Khrushchev, as a little boy, he was an atheist. Nikita Khrushchev won prizes memorizing Bible verses in Sunday school. So just because a person has some academic knowledge about the Bible doesn't mean it's going to draw them closer to God. The Word of God is a means to come to know the person of God. Just imagine if a person, if they were married, and all they wanted to do is read books about marriage, but they didn't want to spend time with their marriage partner. That would be kind of nutty, wouldn't it? Verse 10, with all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Verse 38, read with me. Establish your word to your servant as that which produces reverence for you. So you notice that in verse 38, that coming to know God through his word produces reverence for God. As I come to know God, as we'll see, we come to love God, but we also have greater respect for God. Simply knowing God intimately doesn't mean we become casual with God. We grow in our love for God as well as our reverence and fear of God. In verse 58, he continues, I entreated your favor with all my heart. Be gracious to me according to your word. Again, he wants to know God, and he wants to know God's favor because God is a gracious God. Then in verse 68, you are good and do good. Teach me your statutes. The idea of coming to know God is because God is, to love God is because He's altogether lovely. And part of the idea of coming to know God is to take on His character. And if you think about who God is, that's an awesome thought. That God is good and He does good, and I study His statutes to become good and holy like God. So in my Bible study, does it motivate me to come to want to know God and to be like God in His character? Verse 77. May your compassion come to me that I may live, for your law is my delight. So when I realize who God is, I stand in need of the mercy of God. Without God's mercy, without His compassion, I have nothing. I cannot make it myself. Verse 114. You are my hiding place and my shield. I wait for your word. God is my hiding place. Now, sometimes you're going to have a situation in your life that you would like to run away. You may say, I don't know if I can take this, or I don't like this. I just want to leave. I want to get away. This verse says that God is our hiding place. That He gives a, He's a safe place that we can find strength in our soul to carry on. Then finally in verse 132, turn to me and be gracious to me after your manner with those who love your name. And loving the name of God is coming to love the multitude of the perfections of His character. So why is it that we read the Bible? We read the Bible to come to know who God is. And the end result of that is if I come to want to know who God, who is altogether lovely, who is compassionate and kind and good and patient and holy and just and righteous, is that I want to spend eternity with Him. God is a sea of infinite substance. We cannot exhaust the nature and the goodness of God. And think about that God has all eternity planned for us through Jesus Christ that we might spend with Him. John 17, verse 3, this is eternal life, that they may come to know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom You have sent. So this idea of to check our spiritual progress is I want to come to know God. That was in the Old Testament and it's in the New Testament, clearly revealed in the person of Jesus Christ. And heaven will be that place where we will, where God will cradle us in His loving arms and we'll spend eternity praising and thanking Him for His grace. And we'll have eternal fellowship with Him, which that is not boring, but it's going to be exciting. And it's like if you have a creek or a river somewhere and you go down this small creek or river, and as it grows larger, then it leads to a larger river and then to a lake, and then it'll drain into the ocean. And you may start out a creek, but you end up at the ocean that seems to be immeasurably large. And so it is in coming to know God. We can't exhaust the meaning of God. So first question, when we read our Bible to check our spiritual progress, what does this teach me about the nature of God? Who God is? Because God made me for a relationship with Him. Secondly, in our spiritual growth checkup, am I daily directed by God's Word? I know that we all come together and study God's Word, but how does God's Word speak to me and guide me every day that I live? We read in Psalm 119, verse 1 that we read just moments ago. We'll go through and read some of these verses. How blessed are those whose way is blameless, who walk in the way of the Lord. And it talks about God's way. That means a path, course of conduct. And here the idea of walking in God's is that my path, my steps are established by the Word of God. And God's Word applies to every situation that I'm in. It applies to every decision that I make. It applies to every interaction. It applies to every attitude and how I think about things. Verse 4 and 6, you have ordained your precepts that we should keep them diligently. Oh, that my ways may be established to keep your statutes. Then I shall not be ashamed when I look upon all your commandments. So he's speaking to us so that we'll be diligent in our daily walk in God's Word and that we won't be ashamed because we have neglected it. Verse 18, open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law. Now, I encourage you to put this in the bulletin. We have a daily Bible reading chart, and there's a lot of different Bible reading charts that you can get. And what's the best Bible reading chart that you can get? It's the one you'll use. Okay? So pick one up and put it in the back of your Bible, and you can set a goal. I'm going to read the entire Bible through this year. I'm going to read the New Testament through this year. I'm going to read the New Testament twice through this year. I'm going to read the whole Bible, and I'm going to tell you what, this is a little inside information. You know, everyone says, this is universally true. They'll say, people start reading the Bible, and then they get to the book of Leviticus, and then they get bored to death, and they stop. Okay, let me give you a little secret. When you start reading a point and you get a little bit bored, just skip ahead, okay? Just skip ahead. They let you do that. Just go, I'm going to skip to the book of Numbers. You got some historic, now the book of Leviticus has some interesting things in it. But you have to work at it to appreciate it. It's an acquired taste. But the idea is, you get to a point that maybe it's kind of hard to understand. Well, just skip ahead. Read something else. Don't quit reading God's Word. Verse 48 of Psalm 119. I shall lift up my hands to your commandments, which I love, and I will meditate on your statutes. The word there, meditate, Hebrew word means to murmur or to... It's the idea of talking underneath your breath. And the idea of the ancients, when they would meditate, is they would just talk out loud. And the idea of meditating is taking God's Word and just savoring that. Turning it over in your mind. And not letting it just kind of zip through your mind and running off. And... when I lived out in Arizona, you know, Arizona, where I live, Tucson's a desert in Southern California, west of that. It's kind of semi-arid, but it's a lot more greenery in Southern California than in Arizona. It gets the same amount of rainfall, about 12 to 13 inches a year. But in Arizona, you have this caliche soil, which is really hard, kind of like clay, and when the rain comes, it just runs off. It doesn't soak in. And also we get a lot of rain just at certain parts of the year. But when I zip through the Bible and I don't meditate on it, what happens, it just sort of runs off. And so when we read, we want to just repeat and turn it over like a beautiful diamond and look at all the facets of that and let it soak into my consciousness. And what happens is when I get into a situation that calls for a verse of Scripture, those verses that apply that I've been meditating on will just will readily come to my mind. It's like a heads-up display. It will just, where a fighter pilot will have a heads-up display. It's right there. He can see it. And it's in our mind, God's Word just comes before us so I can recall God's will in that circumstance. Psalm 119, verse 97, oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. So we need to have a love for God's Word, that it is food for the soul, and that it's ultimately good for me. No one can read the Bible, objectively study it, and apply it, and not be a better person. God designed the Bible to better our life. And also Psalm 119, verse 105 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So that's an all-weather guide, day or night, in any situation. In verse 148, my eyes anticipate the night watches that I may meditate on your word. So all these verses here that we'll see is, I need to develop, cultivate. When I read this, I ask myself, what difference is this going to make? We all realize that we have temptations and we have weaknesses. And so I study the Word of God. I say, okay, I have this temptation. I have this difficult person at work to deal with. I have these worries. I have these bills to deal with. I'm having a hard time figuring out how I'm going to deal with this. And you read verses that help you to give you wisdom and strength to deal with those situations. It gives you a plan of how you're going to deal with that. Instead of some situation being a total surprise, we have a spiritual game plan. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That is the Word of God. Well, in our spiritual growth checkup, am I more sensitive to sin? Psalm 119, verse 11. Your word I have treasured in my heart that I may not sin against you. In other words, the word of God in our heart is a sin detector. You can't avoid a sin that you don't know is a sin. And then in verse 37, turn away my eyes from looking at vanity and revive me in your ways. You know, sometimes when you go in a store and the salesman will come up to you and say, may I help you? And you say, no, I'm just looking. And so they just sort of hover around, circling, and they know that if you look long enough, you may eventually buy something. And so Satan wants us to look at things. Vanity means that which is empty, devoid of moral good. He wants us to look at that long enough that I'll eventually desire it. So I need to put out of my mind things. A lot of times we think, if I don't do it, then that's what the sin is. Sin is created twice. Sin is created in the mind, the desire to do it, and then there's the action. So God's Word helps us to turn away our eyes or mind from sin. And then verse 101, he says, I restrain my feet from every evil way that I may keep your word. As I mentioned before, we know there's different temptations that we have. What's your besetting temptation? And, you know, when are situations when you're vulnerable that you're going to commit this sin? Well, what God's Word does is it helps us to avoid those situations. In the New Testament, the Bible says to flee fornication or to flee youthful lust, to fight like a man and flee. Also, Romans chapter 12 and verse 9 in the New Testament says, abhor what is evil, cling to that which is good. So as we grow spiritually, it's not the idea that, oh, I can handle temptation, that's not a problem. And it's the idea I grow in my disdain for it because I see what it does to me. I see what it did to Jesus on the cross. So one of the signs of spiritual growth is I'm becoming more sensitive to sin. I have a greater hatred of sin because I know that's the only thing that God hates. It's the only thing that sent Jesus to the cross. It's the only thing that caused a person to be lost in hell is sin. And so the Bible helps us to see God's perspective and to hate it more and to stay away from it. Another part of this spiritual growth checkup is, am I more fervent in prayer? Am I more fervent in prayer? Psalm 119, verse 26. You'll notice throughout Psalm 119, even though it is a praise of the perfection of God's Word, you have the attendant characteristics of a spiritually minded person. In verse 26, I have told of my ways and you have answered me. And I think he's saying I have told of my ways or confessed my sins and you have answered me. Teach me your statutes. When we pray, God answers yes, no, or wait. Or here's something better. So, you know, in prayer, when I tell God of my ways, I need to be honest with God because I can't hide anything from God. I can't fool God. No one can play games with God and win. So I need to come clean when I come into the presence of God. And that helps me to be more teachable and open to want to do better. Verse 29, remove the false way from me and graciously grant me your law. Now this is a prayer. He's addressing God and wanting to have sin removed from his life, and he's wanting to grow stronger spiritually. Verse 145, I have cried with all of my heart, answer me, O Lord, and I will observe your statutes. Would we characterize our praying as half-hearted? Is prayer to me more than words? Do I put my heart into it? With all of my heart, in prayer is a great expression of faith, because I'm saying I can only handle this with God's help. Prayer is I'm saying that, God, you're real, and I need your help. Man's pride and self-sufficiency shuts out God from our life. So as we're studying God's Word, remember that Paul said that knowledge makes arrogant. If I feel like that I can just know some Bible verses and I'm better than other people spiritually, then I may feel like I don't really need God. I think the more that we study God's Word, the more we realize we need God. Verse 147, I rise before dawn and cry for help. I wait for your words. Notice that he made prayer a priority. When I wake up in the morning, how long does it take me to think about God? You know, God is the one essential relationship, because God made my soul. He made me for a relationship with him. God speaks to us through his word, and I speak to God in prayer. And so this is a priority of staying close to God, making time to pray to God. Verse 154, I plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me according to your word. The idea of pleading is urgency. So prayer is an expression of faith. Prayer is the voice of faith, that God is real and God can make a difference in answering prayer. Am I more fervent in prayer? And the New Testament teaches the same thing. Be persistent in prayer, the Holman Christian Standard Bible says. Pray without ceasing. Another part of our spiritual growth checkup is, am I more eager to praise God? Now, obviously, we love to come together and do God's will and sing according to in spirit and in truth. But during the week, when I think about how good God is to me and all the spiritual blessings that God has given to me, every good thing that we have comes from God. And God is perfect and holy, and yet he still cares about me. And he loves me, and he loves you, and he wants us to be right with him, in spite of knowing everything about us, flaws and all. And so God is a merciful, gracious God who wants to forgive us. He delights in mercy. Don't you think that we ought to want to praise him for that? The idea of praising is extolling him. We praise things that impress us. Now, you think about, what do you get excited about talking about others about something that impresses you? Is it sports or shopping, or what is it that you just really like to talk up? Well, the greatest thing that we can talk up is the greatness of God. Am I more eager to want to praise God? Notice in Psalm 119 in our spiritual growth checkup, in verse 7, he says, I will give thanks to you with uprightness of heart when I learn your righteous judgments. Notice that as he's going through and studying his Bible, that he responds to God in praise. You know, generally what I do is I'll read my Bible and then I'll pray and then I'll sing some songs. And so here, what he's doing is as he is reading, he doesn't wait, because God is so great. He's so appreciative. In verse 12, blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. Someone asked me, what does it mean to bless God? I thought God blessed us. How can we bless God? Well, one of the definitions of blessing God is the idea of speaking well of. When you have a funeral and you have a eulogy means to speak well of, means good words. So to bless God means to speak well of God. And when we recite the perfections of God and how great God is, what impresses me about God, that helps to draw me closer to God. What is it that I am most appreciative to God for? That will make up our praise to God. It's good to take a songbook, have a songbook, use that, or to use that to learn how to sing and praise God. Verse 54, your statutes are my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. O Lord, I remember your name. Your statutes are my songs in the house of my pilgrimage. That life is a journey. We're all on a journey to eternity. And so he has a song in his heart. And what singing does is it changes our attitude. If you go through this week and this year and you have a low point in your life and you feel like you got a bad attitude and you don't feel very well, I would encourage you to sing some spiritual songs of praise to God, and it will change the focus off of whatever is bad that's going on in your life to something that is good, that's high and holy. Our circumstances change, but God does not change. God is the same, and God is always worthy of our praise. So as you go through Psalm 119, you can see there are verses that talk about wanting to praise God, and that emphasis is in the New Testament as well. By Him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. If I want to learn how to praise God, reading the Psalms, which is the most quoted book in the New Testament, will help me to learn the language of praising God. If I run out of words within a minute or two of how to praise God, then I don't really know who God is. And the psalmist, you can see in 150 chapters, the longest book in the Bible, is filled with the praises of God. And that's how I can determine if I'm a spiritually minded person. Well, another part of this spiritual growth checkup is, am I more concerned about serving the needs of others? Psalm 119, verse 63, talks about our influence on others. Verse 63, I am a companion of all those who fear you and of those who keep your precepts. So God obviously wants to be together, us to be together with spiritual children of God. And then in verse 74, may those who fear you see me and be glad, because I wait for your word. In verse 79, may those who fear you turn to me, even those who know your testimonies. So the psalmist is aware that we have an impact or an influence on one another. People can and do change because of the influence of other people. I was reminded of this when we were driving up to Bowling Green to help move Rachel's stuff, as she had graduated from Western Kentucky. And we were driving up there, and the interstate was crowded, and this car just cut in front of me. And I had to hit on the brakes to not get too close to him. And I noticed this car had a Louisiana license plate. And it also had an LSU sticker on the back. And Debbie said, won't you ram them? Now, I thought that was really interesting, because she's never encouraged me to ram anybody before. And so we are influenced by the people around us, you see. Now, am I concerned about serving the needs of others? In verse 74, he's saying, there's other children of God, those who fear God's name. And he says, I want them to see me and be glad. I want to be a good example. Do I think about the influence I may be having on other people? Do I actively, what can I do to encourage other people? I don't want to let other people down. I want to encourage and lift people up. In verse 79, may those who fear you turn to me, even those who know your testimony. Am I the kind of example and influence, if somebody had a problem or a concern, that they would talk to me and ask for help or advice or encouragement? Am I the kind of person that attracts people, or the kind of person that brightens up a room by leaving it? Here he's saying that I want to be that kind of spiritual person by God's word, that people are encouraged to come and talk to me and to get some spiritual input. Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 continues this thought. You were called to freedom, brothers. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. And our theme in serving one another, that was in the bulletin, that's the theme the elders have set, that we want to serve one another, is an important theme in helping one another go to heaven. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You think about it, if I consciously think about it, in all my interactions with you and as we interact with one another, what can I do that's in their best interest? What can I say that is in their best interest? That means I have to take my mind off myself, and I'm going to have to put it on the other person. as Hebrews 10 says, to consider one another, to provoke unto love and good deeds. And finally, in this spiritual growth checkup from Psalm 119, am I more zealous to share God's word with others? And notice verse 13 of Psalm 119. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. In verse 41, may your loving kindnesses also come to me, O Lord. I was wondering why I was reading that, and the answer is in verse 42. So I may have an answer for him who reproaches me. And then you'll look in verse 46. He says, I will also speak of your testimonies before kings and shall not be ashamed. So this is talking about the willingness that if I believe something, the logical spiritual conclusion is I want to communicate that truth to somebody else. A faith not worth sharing is not worth having. If God is real to me and if the Bible's changed my life for the better, it's just common sense that I'd like to try to help somebody else. God has changed my life for the better, and I believe he can do that for you too. And if I am reticent to do that, if I don't feel comfortable doing that, I have to ask, how powerfully has God's word changed my life? I want to share God's word with other people. That's why the church exists as a soul-saving institution. Acts 8, verse 4, they that were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. So in this new year, as we grow closer to God and also to one another through serving one another, I would encourage you, as one preacher encouraged me, he said he did the Psalm 119, he used it, he read it every day for 30 days. Now you could do the 2-week plan, you could do the 1-week plan if you want to. But this shows the perfection of God's word can meet our spiritual need. And so it'll help us to be in the regular habit of Bible study. It'll help us to meditate on it. It'll help us to see all the different ways God's word applies to every phase of our life. The growing child of God will check and redirect the heart and life according to God's word for greater spiritual vitality. I will conclude by reading verse 111. I have inherited your testimonies forever. They are the joy of my heart. I have inclined my heart to perform your statutes forever to the end. So God's word is given to guide us for the rest of our life in every situation that will lead to heaven. Well, I offer the invitation to you, if you're not a Christian, if you want to come to Jesus Christ and obey the gospel and put him on in baptism, we'll sing this invitation song. If you'll give me your hand and God your heart, we'll immerse you into Christ and you can start the new year, a new creature in Jesus Christ. Won't you come while we stand and sing?